Yeah, Father, we need rain. We ask you in the name of Jesus to send us rain and to bring life to this land and stop the fire danger. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who's here to teach us and guide us. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we thank you that you've given us the ability to learn from you and get a rhema word in our hearts as we take your seed, which is your word, in our hearts, which is good soil. It will produce for you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the biggest things I run into with a lot of people is they have a sin consciousness. And God wants you to have no more consciousness of sin. It gets drilled in to a lot of Christians because how many of you have been told that if you make a mistake, you need to go repent of that sin? You go ask God to forgive you of that. Every denomination is guilty of it. Every one of them. But that's not God's way. He wants you to have a righteousness conscience. One thing that gets thrown around in these circles is you'll hear people say they made a mistake and the Holy Spirit got all over them and they felt so bad that they just had to go do something. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was the devil. He made you feel bad. Your own conscience made you feel bad. The Holy Spirit spends his time trying to convince you that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, the idea of you having to be right or get right before you worship God is man's tradition. Once you're born again, you're right. You're in right standing. I used to get a kick out of Glenn Smith. He'd say, "You know something? Some little old guy, he could just go out there and smoke him a big old doobie and go right into the presence of God." Well, is that any better? Is that any worse than somebody telling a fib? Is that any worse than somebody cheating on their taxes? Is that any worse than anything else anybody does? Amen? It's not about your efforts, your ability, or your capabilities to do things right. It's what he did on the cross. Don't go get a left-handed lucky and get high and think it's going to be all right. I mean, look, he didn't give you a license to sin, but he did give you a reprieve if you do make a mistake. When you do make a mistake, he does give you a reprieve. Amen? So let's look at Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Said, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner.'" Now going down to verse 48. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Here this lady, she knew. She knew that she was out of sorts with God. She knew she was a sinner. She knew that she was just, she was on the outer gate. But she got her chance to get to Jesus. And she didn't make any pretenses about it. She just went to his feet and just worshipped him. anointed his feet with this alabaster, anointed his feet with tears, anointed Jesus. Can you imagine? This is a costly bit of perfume that she put on there. And here's the thing, the religious mafia was right there to get after Jesus. Said, do you know what manner of woman this is? You know, that just irritates me. Because it still happens today. Happens to me. You know, I'll go somewhere and I'll see somebody and I'll visit with them, talk with them, and pray with them. One man was an outlaw and he got born again. And he got in a crash one day. And another preacher said, I wish he had just died. Man, are you serious? Are you serious? But, you know, we're not in this world to just hang out with just righteous people. There are people out there that need Jesus, and they're not going to receive Jesus if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus. Amen? They need Jesus, and they've got to hear about him. Now, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Oh, she didn't, you know, there's an account of people, they'd see Jesus and they say, thou son of David. And they wouldn't get no answer. Nothing. Because they were making a pretense that they were already in right standing with God, acting like they were in. This woman, she just said, take my tears, basically. And look what happened. She got her sins forgiven. Whatever your need is, come to Jesus. He is the great I am. This is the neatest thing in the world. Jesus is so loving. God is so loving and caring for people that he doesn't care what kind of a mess they're in. He just wants them to come to him. You know, I don't know about y'all, but my life was a literal wreck before I got born again. And there was nothing I could do to get better. I just went to Jesus, and he started getting me better. Things haven't changed. After you get born again, you can't clean yourself up. You have to go to Jesus and let him clean you up. It's only with the blood of Jesus. The pride of man says that if you ask God to forgive you, this is after you're born again. The pride of man says that if you ask God to forgive you, he will. And that's true. But it's not because of your asking. It's because of the blood of Jesus that you got forgiven. And in fact, you got forgiven 2,000 years ago. You need to receive that. One big thing is people want to get people in a corner when they go to get born again, and they call it repentance. And they got to spend 2 or 3 hours talking about all this stuff they did in their past. Like that's going to do something for you. God did not require Paul to say anything about his past when he got born again, when he repented. All Paul did was he got knocked off his donkey and he looked up and he said, who are you, Lord? And this is when he repented. Lord, your Lord. That's when he repented. See, before that, Jesus was not Lord. And then Paul repented and said, your Lord. Let's go. That's repentance. He changed his mind. It's an about face. It's not asking forgiveness. It's not paying penance. It's not doing any of that stuff. Repentance is changing your mind. You know, we change our minds all the time. You know, we'll think that we have something one way, and we've been taught it to be a certain way. And then we'll see something in the Bible, and we'll say, oh, well, that's the way it is. You just repented. You turned around. You were going one way, and you turned around and went a different way. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Grace produces sober, righteous, godly living, which is holiness. That's separation to God. You're set apart. You've been made uncommon from the rest of the world. You know, in the Old Testament it talks about sometimes people would be brought in. You see, the Jews were told to bring in proselytes. So they bring people in, but they couldn't just come into the camp. They'd be on the outskirts of the camp for a little while. There was a cleansing period. This is in the Old Testament. And then they could come in to the camp. And then they were Jews. They were set apart. But there was a little bit of time where all of a sudden they weren't part of the old world, but they weren't part of the new world. A lot of Christians go through this. You know, they get born again. Now all of a sudden they're marked, they're branded, and they don't fit in with the old crowd anymore. And even if they don't say anything, the old crowd senses something different about them. And now they're uncomfortable being around them. But in the same time, they're not real comfortable being around the church people. I remember that. You know, I got born again and I didn't fit in with the old crowd anymore. But the church crowd wasn't ready for me yet. They just weren't ready to deal with that. And that happens to a lot of people. That's not going to happen here. When somebody gets born again, we're going to love on them, we're going to take care of them, we're going to accept them into the body of Christ. Amen? They may be squirrely, crazier than a pet coon, but we're still going to make them welcome here. Amen. We're going to love on them long enough for God to get them fixed up. Amen. Then they respond to that. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. Just out of curiosity, I've done a lot of fishing in my time. I used to be a fishaholic. I was horrible. But I've caught a lot of fish. Big fish, little fish, junk fish, good fish. I've never caught a clean fish. Have you ever caught a clean fish? Not once. I caught a fish that I was going to keep, but he wasn't clean. That's the same way people are. We've been called to be fishers of men. We ain't going to catch clean ones. You know, they're going to get born again, and they're going to be washed in the blood, and they're going to be accepted in the beloved. But you're going to have to realize that some of these guys have lived a hard life. And, you know, some of them might cuss in church. You know, some of them might still drink. You know, some of them might have some real problems. But our job is to love them, encourage them, and feed them, and let God do His work on them, let the Holy Spirit do His work on them, and watch them change. Watch God do His thing. He's the master craftsman. Now, notice I said our job is to feed them and guide them, help them. We're not fruit inspectors. You know, we're not fruit inspectors. I've seen too many Christians that thought they were fruit inspectors. They'd see other people and start judging them by their fruits. You judge false prophets by their fruits, not Christians by their fruits. It's an interesting thing to watch people change. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a fun thing to watch them change. But Psalm chapter 139, verse 23, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That sounds really cool. But I'm going to tell you something about that. When you do that, the devil's going to find something to remind you of. And that's what you're going to have, a sin conscience. Now, it is okay to set a time apart with God. And one thing I did one time was I was fasting, and there were some things that just wasn't right. And I fasted, and I was set aside, and I was just by myself. And I said, "Okay, God, let's go. Let's see what's in there." So I did that, and man, rage come up inside of me. I said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's rage." And I said, "Man, how do I forgive this guy? There's a guy that cheated me out of a lot of money. I mean, it was bad. It was bad." And at the time, if I could have found him, I don't know what, I'd probably still be in jail. I said, "God, I got to deal with this. How can I forgive him? I've forgiven him, but it just doesn't go away." He said, "You forgive him with the forgiveness of Jesus." So I borrowed Jesus' forgiveness, and that went away. That rage went away. And he stopped living rent-free in my head. Well, I had to borrow Jesus' forgiveness. I said, "No, I forgive him." Amen. The problem with searching hearts is a lot of times pastors will tell people to search your hearts before you take communion. You're going to find something wrong. The devil's going to point something out to you. When you need to be receiving the forgiveness of Jesus, that waterfall of forgiveness, you know, the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's a continual cleansing. That means an all-the-time cleansing. Amen? That's how you end up with the right standing conscience. Now go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. And here's what God has to say in the New Testament about this stuff. Said, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So there's too many Christians that don't want the Old Testament to vanish away. There's too many people that don't want the old covenant to go away. They want to cling to that. Because in their pride, they think there's some way they can earn the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you something, you can't. You can't. All you can do is receive them. How do you receive them? Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. That's how you receive them. Amen? You don't have to go through any big drama thing. You just receive the promises by thanking him for them. You know, Jesus thanked his way into miracles. He was at the tomb of his good friend, Lazarus. You know, they sent people to Jesus a couple days earlier and said, your friend Lazarus is sick and he needs you to come. And he went about his business. And they said, don't you worry about your friend. Your friend is sick. We'll get there. And he got there, and they already had Lazarus in the tomb, and his sister come out there and said, if you had just come, he'd have been all right. And he said, I am the resurrection. And he went to that tomb and he said, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. I don't know if he prayed for Lazarus on the way up there or what, but he told Lazarus to come forth and he come hopping out of that tomb. Amen. But he got into their religion in a couple different ways. Number one, he let Lazarus be in that tomb for 4 days. And the Jews had a tradition that the spirit of the man would linger around for 3 days. After 3 days, corruption would set in. Jesus never saw corruption. Lazarus did. But Lazarus came back to life. Amen. I wonder if they had to pay the whalers back. You know, that was one of their traditions. They would hire people to come and wail and cry and scream and throw a fit. They had professional whalers. They'd come scream, cry, do all the noise making. I wonder if they just got unemployed all of a sudden there. Their wailing was over. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You know, I was so happy when I found out that God was not remembering my sins. For the longest time, I thought, you know, he was keeping track of all this stuff. And, you know, kind of like a pickle, you know, a cucumber, if you dip it in vinegar, when does it stop being a cucumber and turn into a pickle? You know, I thought that maybe at some point, you know, if I made one more mistake, I might have gone too far. And I stayed awake at night a lot of times worrying about stuff I did. And it was, I didn't understand that the blood of Jesus took care of all that. There's a lot of people that are worried about the stuff they've done. Some of them are, some Christians that are sitting in church every Sunday are worried about things they did 30 years ago. When it's the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses you, and you need to receive that and walk in that freedom and that liberty. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, we can't look at ourselves in the mirror and compare to what Jesus did in us. When you got born again, you got made perfect. I know it's hard for people to understand this, because we still make mistakes. But as far as God is concerned, he did a perfect work in you, a perfect salvation in you. And as far as he's concerned, you have the same standing that Jesus has. Wrap your mind around that. You can't. You just got to wrap your heart around it. You got to understand that God loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. And when you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ, and you got made one with Jesus. And you're seated at the right hand of God. And God does not look at you differently than what he looks at Jesus. As a matter of fact, when he looks at you, he sees you through the blood. Because the blood has been applied to you. He sees you and he loves every part of you. And here's the interesting thing about sin and people. Well, in the Old Testament, when somebody made a mistake, they'd take, say just for instance, a pigeon to the priest. And the priest would prepare this pigeon and they would burn this pigeon and sacrifice him, and that smoke would go up to God. And God has seen that sacrifice as perfect. He didn't look at the man. He looked at the sacrifice. Jesus got on that cross, and God was not looking at you. He was looking at that sacrifice. Amen? When he sees you, he sees his son. He sees his son perfect work. Praise God. Now, let's do one more. John chapter 10, verse 15. And we'll stop with this one. John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Interesting. That's us. We're the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. Now, verse 17, it says, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. God loves Jesus. And because Jesus laid down his life for us, it gave God the right to take us into the family. We got adopted in, and now we're part of the family. It's a big family. It's a blood-bought family. And here's the thing. He plays favorites. Did you know that? You're his favorite kid. You're his favorite daughter. You're his favorite daughter. You're his favorite son. Why can I say that? Because with the same love that he loves Jesus with, is the same love that he loves us with. Amen? Now, we just receive of him. Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more you're going to know him, and the more you know him, the more you're going to be able to receive from him. Amen? Thank you, Father, for this time with you and in your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus does for us on a day-to-day basis. Everything that he's already done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. Father, we thank you that as our high priest making intercession for us, when we pray to you, Jesus takes our prayers and makes them perfect. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.